Good afternoon, Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Megan Turnquist. Following the uncertainty of China following through with the Phase 1 trade deal, USDA announced this morning that China has taken numerous actions to implement their commitments. The actions include allowing the import of U.S. fresh chipping potatoes, lifting a ban on U.S. poultry imports, and updating the list of products that can be sent to China as feed additives. In a statement, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue says the Trump administration negotiated a strong trade agreement with China, and there are expectations with compliance on all elements of the deal.
China signed a protocol allowing the import of U.S. fresh chipping potatoes from the Pacific Northwest. Bryant Christie, Vice President of Global Access, Matt Lance, says any exported potato is good for the industry.
Any opportunity for us to be shipping our potatoes to another market means there is value for all potato growers, just because there is more opportunities for folks that aren't near the coast to sell to other entities and corporations. And as I mentioned, you know, this thing has been around for so long that it started with the Pacific Northwest, and our goal will be eventually to allow other states to be able to export as well. So two opportunities. One, potatoes that might be in the U.S. will now be in China, and secondly, we will be working to try to open the market for other regions as well.
Now that this is signed, Lance says the potato industry will need to start shipping.
And with any of these agreements, we'll need to make sure that the agreement works commercially for our suppliers, and then we'll try to start expanding that. The other part of Phase 1 is we are looking and hoping to have tariffs eliminated on potato imports, and so that would be on fries and dehy and other products. China has offered that there is a way to do that. It has to be done domestically with importers petitioning their own government, but we're certainly exploring that as well because we'd like to be able to expand our processed potato exports to China as well.
Lance is attending the National Potato Council fly-in in Washington, D.C.
Coronavirus fears caused the yield on the benchmark 10-year U.S. Treasury note to fall to an all-time low of 1.322% this morning. Treasury yields, which fall when bond prices rise, tumbled on Monday and resumed their slide in today's trading session. The yield is also a key barometer for the U.S. economy. Federal Reserve officials have said it's too soon to know how the fallout from the coronavirus will impact the U.S. economy or whether it would force a return to interest rates cuts later this year.
Expansion of the coronavirus outbreak still has the attention of market analysts today. Bauer Trading market analyst Jim Bauer says the grain markets are tired of being tired.
It seems like this whole series of events have taken place in a relatively short period of time, and of course it's a very serious situation from a global standpoint as far as health. Of course, yesterday we saw the health situation stem over into the financial situation, so you had a double whammy at the same time and people become kind of panicky. Things seem to have settled down here a little bit today. Got some movement in both directions, although most commodities are still under a little bit of pressure, but certainly not like yesterday. To me, and I remember the SARS event quite clearly, but I think it's important that they obviously get control of this as soon as possible. Any analyst will tell you that.
Bauer says analysts continue to watch for a peak in the coronavirus.
Just like today, you know, even though the stock market's down about 295 points, corn market's unchanged, beans are up about 2.5, wheat's up a little bit, which aren't big moves at all, but at least they're not falling out of bed. And the market seems to be a little bit more balanced today, so that's a sign that the market's building in a lot of the bad news, and hopefully they will find a solution so they can bring some good news in here. But you do have to be careful. You want to undertrade here a little bit to be on a cautious note, because this is kind of an unknown territory at this level.
According to USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, 61% of North Dakota's corn is harvested at the end of this month. That's an increase of 12 percentage points from January. State statistician Darren Jancy tells the Red River Farm Network that jump is a little surprising, but farmers are making progress when they can. Hannaford, North Dakota farmer Dennis Haugen plans to resume harvest once he's back from the Commodity Classic.
One neighbor number that's actually been plugging away here the last couple of weeks. He got done with what he could get. You know, obviously the perimeters of all the fields are blowing in with 6 feet of snow, so, you know, we're going to have to wait for that to melt to get the last of that done. But picking away on it, most guys have not started. There's just, you know, a few guys jumping the gun here a little bit. Other than that, everybody's kind of waiting for the snow to settle down a little further. There's still plenty of snow on those fields yet.
Haugen says the corn is drying down.
I was at 19.5 moisture and 49.5 pounds, so looks like we'll make the 50-pound magic number here when we get going, and yeah, it's been a kind of concern of everybody's was the test weight thing.
In North Dakota, calving season is about 9% complete. The USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service says cattle and calf conditions are rated 83% good to excellent. Lambing progress is 20% complete, with sheep and lamb conditions rated 79% good to excellent. Hay and roughage supplies are rated 54% adequate to surplus.
David Boehm is the new technical manager at the Northern Crops Institute. In this new role, he will manage and assist the Institute's technical staff and client services. Before joining the Institute, he was the research and development manager for Sess Vanderhoff Sugar Beets, responsible for research and breeding activities in the United States. For more information from the Red River Farm Network, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also find stories, podcasts, and more at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon, farm news on the Red River Farm Network. The Northern Plains experienced rain, ruts, and other challenges this past crop season. Is there a silver lining to 2019? USDA Northern Great Plains Research Lab soil scientist Dr. Mark Liebig can't think of a direct answer to that question. But there are ways farmers can manage these problems ahead of the 2020 growing season.
Some general guidelines, and all this is pretty common sense stuff. I mean, if you get your harvest done, try to do it while the frost is still deep. Once things thaw, do your best to stay off of wet soil. Many of the folks who are applied soil physicists, they suggest using a drop test. So essentially, you take your soil from about that 3 to 6 inch depth, you mold it into a ball. And if you drop it, and if it breaks apart, you should be okay. If it stays in a clod, it's too wet. You're going to do some serious damage to your soil.
Liebig goes on to say keeping soil disturbance to a minimum will help keep residue upright. That will help facilitate drying, which is another reason for being patient.
Along with that is selecting later season crops. I know we're looking favorably at sunflower for parts of the farm. Because it is a later season crop, have a plan for volunteer crops, because the efficiency of harvest wasn't all that great given the challenging conditions that we had last fall. So, you know, if you might have to be thinking about the herbicide plan to be able to deal with those volunteers. So good to be proactive.
Liebig spoke this morning at the Farming and Ranching for the Bottom Line Conference in Bismarck.
The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources formed a Wolf Plan Advisory Committee. Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association Cow-Calf Chair Jake Thompson serves on the committee.
You know, the wolf looking to be delisted through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the governor wanted to kind of re-advise how Minnesota can manage their wolf population. So they reached out and we're going to end up picking 20 different people throughout the state of Minnesota that would may represent different industries and aspects of the management ideas. So I'm going to try and represent Minnesota Cattlemen's as best we can in hopes to, you know, look at making sure that there is a true management strategy on this wolf population.
Thompson says cattle producers are asking the wolf population stays within a reasonable range. That way there won't be as much predator pressure in areas with large amount of cow-calf pairs.
You know, wolves do what they do by instinct and eat, and you know, there's a few guys in that northern Minnesota range that really battle this thing every year. Talk to a couple of different producers that it's not uncommon in the last 2 years for them to lose, you know, 30-40% of their calf crop, you know, due to wolf. So we're going to try and do our best to work with all the different members on that committee and try to hopefully come up with the best case scenario plan for the state of Minnesota to actually manage their wolf population.
There have been 5 years of marginal profitability for Minnesota dairy farmers. The second half of 2019 started to show an increase in the milk price, which put a little hope back into the market. Central Lakes College farm business management instructor Nate Converse encourages farmers to consider the risk management strategies available.
It's a new product out there, and I'm sure most people are kind of aware of it by now. It's called a DRP, or Dairy Revenue Protection Product. It's available through your crop insurance agents. And for dairy producers, it's a really nice tool, you know, especially if you know your cost production. You can take a look at where the futures are at. It's all based on futures, so kind of follow the markets and see what you can lock in for floor. The advantage to it is obviously it locks a floor in, but it doesn't limit your upside potential. So if milk goes up, you get the full upside potential. If milk goes down, at least you have a floor that kind of protects you.
There are several lessons that can be learned from navigating the difficult dairy economy. Converse says farmers need to be aware of how tolerant they are of risk.
You know, I have some farms that have been farming for a long time, had most of debt paid off, you know, and they're obviously quite tolerant of risk. They can deal with low prices, and they can just cut back on a few things, some family living expenses and things like that, and they can float right through. But some that just went through maybe a recent expansion or installed robots or did some things like that, obviously they're going to have a little bit more debt to service. They're going to be a lot less tolerant of risk, and they really need to look at using some of these tools to help guarantee at least a minimum price to make sure that they can keep the bills paid.
Ahead of Thursday's budget forecast, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is proposing state funding of $250,000 to enhance farm safety measures. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. It's National FFA Week. To celebrate, the Red River Farm Network is telling stories of former FFA members from Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. North Dakota's state soil scientist, Wade Bott, doesn't have to dig deep to recognize the impact FFA had on his 30-year career.
A couple of members were interested in doing land judging, and they needed one more to make up a team. And so I volunteered to be that third member while we were judging. We ended up winning the state land judging contest, and I was the overall high individual, which got me a chance to go participate in the national contest in Oklahoma City. Ultimately, I've been a soil scientist and done soils-related things all of my career as a result of putting in a little extra time that particular summer. I think it was 1984.
The former Williston FFA member has an impact on agriculture education in North Dakota.
So I'll put together workshops that will teach soils, put together a curriculum that they're able to use to teach soils in the classroom, whether it would be describing soils or doing some of the new soil health interpretations or understanding them. Spend a day showing them scientific experiments and field exercises that they can use in a classroom setting.
The Red River Farm Network's National FFA Week coverage is made possible by the Minnesota Agricultural Education Leadership Council, Proceed, Bayer, and Nutrien. Follow our coverage throughout the week on Twitter at RRFN and Facebook. Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, March Minneapolis wheat down a quarter at 5.13 3/4. March Chicago wheat unchanged at 5.36 1/4. March Kansas City wheat down 3/4 at 4.51 1/2. March corn down a half at 3.71 3/4. December corn down 3/4 at 3.81 1/2. March beans up 3 1/4 at 8.77 1/2. November beans up 3 1/2 at 9.08 1/2. In livestock markets, February live cattle down $2, April down $2.50 at 112.75. March feeder cattle down $3.97 at 132. April lean hogs down 5 cents at 64.57. Taking a quick look at the farm calendar, the Commodity Classic coming up. It officially starts on the 27th, later this week. Join us as we report from the event. This is the Red River Farm Network.